We are live from City Diesel here at GSS. This is Sean Paul Day, and this is London Taxi Radio. Coming up on today's show, the thorny issue of plying for hire. We want you to define it, taking into consideration a contemporary setting. The Welbeck case is all very well, isn't it? But unless you take into the technology of the day into account, then it isn't the paper it's worth written on. Isn't that what they're saying? Does plying for hire and the terminology of pre-book belong to an antiquated era? Does it belong to last century, bolted on to an industry and a time that doesn't exist anymore? Surely, it's an app job, isn't it? That's all it is. It's an app job. Doesn't matter whether it's pre-book or plying for hire. It's an app job. Well, in theory, yes. But by doing so, you are mugging off a whole industry made up of tens of thousands of individuals and their families. Now, the Chamber of Commerce have waded in, saying they also think plying for hire is antiquated terminology. So what do you think, and what do you think should happen if they amend the cab order? They did it for Addison and Lee, didn't they? They haven't done it for Uber, but who's to say they won't? Is plying for hire and the terminology of pre-book belonging to yesteryear? We'll be taking your calls on that and compensation. Compensation is in order, isn't it? If a company comes to the capital operating illegally and people are suffering because of it, then surely compensation is in order. So, who will pay for it? Uber? Well, they're 4.5 billion in the red. What about TfL? 1 billion in the red. None of these companies, whether they regulate us or are here illegally, are turning a profit. And what is a company doing here? 4.5 billion in the red, not showing further efficiencies, not showing how they will turn a profit, but still operating here even though the license has been refused. Not only that, operating here without a license, but also not paying anything for the use of our infrastructure. They shouldn't be here. Revoke their license and send a strong message to all other companies that they cannot run roughshod through our democracy. They are illegal and should be gone. To us drivers, the drivers are still out there, and so nothing has changed, has it? Never mind policy wrangling or regulatory arguments for the reasons why they should be here. They shouldn't. They are illegal. Get shot. We'll be taking your calls on that. I'm joined by the lovely, the cuddly Mr. Taxi App himself, Paul Harris. For the first time since the breakfast show, the sore required level, and a real return of an old friend, Mick the Brit, will be back on the decks. We'll also be joined by the LCDC's Grant Davis, and for the first time on the show itself will be GMB's Steve Garalick. There's Len the Pen, there's Taxi League's Jim Thomas, and, of course, I'll be joined by and overseen by the master himself, that super cabbie, Jamie. All coming up on today's show. So give us a call on 020 8114 8294. That's 020 8114 8294.
Sean, it's Angie from the UCG. Just want to wish you all the luck in the world for your show on Monday. Sean, you are one of the few people in this trade that is respected by all, and that is a hard gig to get, as we both know. But anyway, Love you lots. Speak soon. And I should get my dictionary ready for the occasional 18-syllable word. See you, hun. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Just wanting to say a big hello to Sean. Wishing you a very happy birthday. Well done for all your work with the Taxi Trade and London Taxi Radio. And all the best going forwards with everything. Happy birthday, Sean. Lots of love, Artemis, and all the Safe Taxi girls. Bye.
Hello, it's Chris Humphreys. Happy birthday, SPD. Happy birthday, Sean and Danny Boy. Happy birthday, SPD.
Hiya, Sean. Drumslayer here. We first met in April 2015 in Oxford Street. Lovely spring day. We were there courtesy of the UCG, which at the time seemed to be a game changer demo. We had a brief chat. My first impression had you as a cross between Charles Atlas and Popeye, the sailor man. Fortnight later, you spoke at a meeting, immediately impressing me and the whole room. I thought, the boy's got brains as well as brawn. But seriously, Sean, you've represented our trade and spoke extraordinarily well, whether it be press, media, taxi app, TFL, government, the orgs, or on the megaphone by my side at legitimate protests. I've christened you the Tower of Babel, as in Babel. Over the last 4 years, you've been trying to right the transgressions of our corrupt enemies like a dog with a bone, or in your case, a boner. I well remember describing you to the comm of the LTDA. Do you remember that day? The appeal of your expulsion. We'd both seen more life in a morgue. But I described you as the unofficial voice of the trade. I still believe that today, when you speak, Sean, or write, people take notice. So I couldn't have been more relieved and happier to hear that Jamie and Mac had passed the baton of London Taxi Radio to you. London Taxi Radio couldn't be in better hands. And I also take this opportunity to wish you a belated happy birthday. And after all these years, are you still only 39? This is Drumslayer signing off.
Happy birthday, Sean Paul Day, you posh Irish man. No, 50, I never would have guessed it. You don't look a day over 49. From Fergie.
Hi, it's Jim Thomas here from Taxi Leaks. I just want to wish everyone involved with the relaunch of London Taxi Radio congratulations and good luck. But most of all, I'd like to wish Sean Paul Day... Happy birthday, Sean, from everyone at Taxi Leaks.
Happy birthday, Sean, from Lenny the Pen.
Sean, happy 21st birthday. And for your ultimate gift, I have resigned from the RMT. And I know very much this will upset you. And you've been crying in your soup or your cornflakes for the last 28 days. So I'm sorry about that, sweetheart, but happy birthday and many happy ones to come. Good luck with London Taxi Radio and reaching a milestone of 30, you old whippersnapper, you.
I'd like to say hello to the London Taxi Radio team and all their listeners, with a special eye to bullseye boy Sean Paul Day. Happy 50th, mate. I'd like also to take this opportunity, Sean, to thank you from the Wolsey clan for your relentless and tireless work you do trying to secure and improve the taxi trade for all of us. We are lucky to have such a passionate and intelligent taxi driver willing to stand up for himself and represent others who cannot do so quite as eloquently as you. I have witnessed this with all the hard work you do for Taxi App. I also hear you have taken over from Jamie and will be continuing his great work at London Taxi Radio. Good luck with that, mate. And once again, happy birthday. Be lucky.
Happy birthday, Sean. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Paul, from Miggy H. Miggy Aaron.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday Sean Paul Day, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, mate. Aussie.
Hi, this is Steve Garrick wishing you a very happy birthday and a wonderful year ahead. I hope it's all you wish it is and more. Thanks.
Which way do I go?
Great Suffolk Street.
Down here.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You're welcome.
Oh, it's dark, isn't it?
It certainly
We're
is.
We're good in tunnels.
I've heard that.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yes.
This is Sean Paul Day from London Taxi Radio.
And this is Mick the Brit wishing you a very happy birthday, Sean.
With rage.
And hopefully you're just going to be incandescent with birthday. Cake and stuff. Anyway, Sean, just wanted to wish you a very happy birthday. And, well, yeah, I had some problems last year, but you was there. You was there with some advice. Always got a smile on your face, and today you have every right to be front and centre as it's your birthday. Maybe a belated birthday, but yeah, anyway, here we are. So I just wanted to thank you. You're kind of like the Kenny Everett of, in certain ways, of London Taxi Radio. And you've got a great sense of humour, obviously. And yeah, you're definitely a people person. And there to help anyone who's got a problem or whatever. So thank you, Sean, for helping me keep it together. And I wish you a very happy birthday and many more of them to come. Cheers.
Oh, hello, everybody. Well, you know, this voice is very famous in the trade. This is Odd Bob here, speaking to you live from the home for deluded ex-cab drivers. Now, when I heard that that cargo trousered-wearing git, Sean Paul Day, didn't have a platform anymore, I threw a party here at the home. There was lots of tea, there was a bit of bingo and some Battenberg cake. Steve Mack dressed up as a clown. Well, that didn't take him long, but we all had a great time. And then I heard that the Extreme Boy was actually coming back with his own show on London Taxi Radio. Well, I can tell you now, I nearly shit. Well, I actually did nearly shit. I had to call the nurse when I heard this news, because quite frankly, I thought we'd got rid of the bugger. Well, I suppose you can't keep a good man down. Well, especially once the Viagra kicks in, I should know. Anyway, I'll be listening to London Taxi Radio, just like I used to. And I hope you will be too. I'd like to wish Sean Paul Day a good luck with it. Well, I say I'd like to wish him good luck, but I won't. He's a pain in the arse, and I want to slap him. Now, there's the exit. You know the rest.
You and me. You're listening to London Taxi Radio.
That's it. You can call in LTR. We're live on 0208 144 8294. We'd like to hear your views on the subjects we talked about earlier. I'm going to recap because the first 20 minutes didn't record, apparently. So if you're listening live, you know what it's about. But if you're going to listen to the podcast, we're going to be talking about the thorny issue of applying for hire and whether the terminology itself is antiquated. Is it antiquated? Does it have a place in the 21st century? Some would say it's an app job, isn't it? It's all recorded, monitored, tracked, no more anonymous journeys. In theory, anyway, we know that isn't the case, don't we? But what do you think? What would happen if they decided to amend the cab order? They haven't. They did for Addison and Lee, ironically enough. They amended the cab order for them. They haven't for Uber. But they might, haven't they? It seems to suit the policymakers, doesn't it? What do you think? Give us a call. Also, compensation. Split the trade a little bit, didn't it? At the demonstrations, we've got people saying, right, the ITA had put out there, and I think rightly so, compensation was in order. For the simple reason they're operating illegally. Any company that operates illegally, there should be consequences to it, shouldn't there? Otherwise, it gives the go-ahead for all kinds of companies to come and operate illegally. Can't have it. Can't have multinationals run roughshod through our democracy, can we? Well, tell us what you think. Also, $4.5 billion in the red. What is a company who can't show efficiencies and can't show profit doing here operating in London? Because if they had to show a profit, they wouldn't be able to compete, would they? So they're being state assisted. Is there a place for state assistance of private enterprise? That's a company here, $4.5 billion in the red. They only retain about 1 in 5 of their drivers. Not sustainable without state assistance. When I say state assistance, you probably think, well, what's he talking about? Well, predatory pricing, for one. Predatory pricing is unlawful. What are they doing here? Predatory pricing. What are they doing? Being aided by TfL in the High Court. The meter case, do you remember that? It was a bit of a deflection away from the booking process, wasn't it? Let's concentrate on the meter. Let's state assist them because TfL defending them better than Uber defending themselves. There you go, state assist them. What is a company like that still operating in London? Given that the fallout has been astronomical since they were refused a new licence, what are they still doing here? To drivers on the street, and this is what it's all about, isn't it? To drivers on the street, nothing has changed, does it? The drivers are still out there. Doesn't matter the wrangling with politicians. It doesn't matter all the kind of to-ing and fro-ing, saying they're allowed to continue till appeal. We did a demonstration on it. They could get rid of them on contingencies. Get rid of them. Just get rid of them. What would they do? I think it would send a strong message, wouldn't it, to all those companies that wanted to come here and apply their wares illegally. So we'd like to hear your views on that. That's 0208 144 8294. Give us a call. You'll have the lovely Myrna answering your phone in that kind of lovely dulcet East Block accent of hers. She'll be answering. There'll be no profanities. Yeah, it's difficult. It's all right. She's medicated. Give us a call. 0208 144 8294. Who have we got here? Is Mick the Brit online?
Hello, Sean.
Oh, there you go.
Just found the fader in time. Yes, how are you?
This is Mick the Brit. He's an old friend, Mick the Brit. He did a runner.
Old friend, an old voice, yeah.
A runner once, didn't you, Mick?
Well, not so much run. I slouched away, yeah.
Now, Mick, you're a forthright RMT person. There you go. So applying for hire is very close to your heart.
Not so forthright, but yeah, absolutely right, because it's... To myself and to one or two others, well, this was pointed out. Everything else that is going on, put it this way. Would you decorate your bathroom if the foundations of your house needed rendering? Subsidence.
No, you wouldn't.
So that's your foundation. And our foundation is the way we operate in a two-tier system compared with private hire. Now... what's effectively happened is with anyone with a car and a telephone can do what we do. Our operation, our... what's that phrase, Sean?
Modus operandi.
Latin.
Do you really think so? Because I would say that... I mean, they've got the app. They've got, they can follow static routes. but they can't really diversify. Now, the one big thing about the knowledge, whenever we get into an argument about this, the big thing about the knowledge is it's able to diversify better than, say, Google Maps. The day it doesn't, isn't able to do that is the day we should bring it into question. But the fact that we can diversify is efficiency saving. And I think that's the advantage up and above having to follow or being subjected to compulsory routes, because pretty much that's what Google is, isn't it? So I think for that reason, and it is, when they're traffic modelling, when they've got this in mind and they're designing roads and they're deciding the layout, this is what they take into consideration, efficiency saving. And I think that in itself, apart from the booking process, the app-based companies aren't really showing efficiencies anymore. And I think...
Well, it's the reason is why people use them. Let's go back, why people use them. They're cheap and convenient. Why are they convenient? Well, the market has been... flooded, absolutely flooded and saturated by the cars moving around. Why are they cheap? Well, go on.
Well, predatory pricing.
Well, yeah, they're being subsidised to the tune of 40%, or in other words, for every pound that Uber earn or companies, well, we'll use them as an example, for every pound that they're earning in London, it's costing them £1.40.
Well, there you go. I think, you shut me off.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. A bit early in the day to be shutting me off, Mick.
You're still breathing. Go on.
You know what I mean? I think you could say that. Considering, like we just mentioned, predatory pricing is unlawful. Shouldn't be happening anyway. But I don't know how cheap they are, because I think the perception is, and the trouble with not having any PR or having any marketing in our trade, we are presumed to be £40 when they're 20. That's the assumption, isn't it? That's perception. It's not necessarily the truth.
No. And that's the problem, you see. It's not the truth that counts. It's what people believe. It's all about perception out there. And this is what we collectively have to do to, the facts and the truth will always come out eventually.
That's right. Are you online, Paul Harris?
Go on.
Here we go.
Are you? You have to get closer.
Just pulling in number three. How are we doing? Is that better? Right close to it, Paul. Right close. You know, imagine
I'll be hearing it in a minute.
I can hear you now, yeah.
Is okay?
Is it on?
You're saying, I think it's on. I think you should go for it.
Yeah, so...
All right, we're in a position here. We're just getting tied up. We're getting strapped in with some wires. We're getting bonded by wires. But, I mean, that's what we have. I think the thing is, when they talk about efficiencies, they are unable to show any efficiencies beyond the booking process. And I think that if you require an app, then you've got all the taxi apps out there, haven't you? You could take one of them. There is no difference. And I think the only way they've shown efficiency, and they were bought in on the back of that, is en masse oversaturation of the market, completely oversupplied the market. That should be considered as gross inefficiencies because of the mitigating circumstances like congestion and pollution. So really, I mean, again, it brings us back to this company shouldn't be here, should they? And... again, Mick, the plan for hire. But Paul,
yes.
What do you reckon?
Well, I'd like to just give my point on that. And I think personally, from a point that it's inefficient, is that what we're looking at now is we've got cars parked on every street corner, in every station, and it's certainly showing a TfL up for what they've actually allowed to happen and operate. What we're looking at now is... it's coming across as just total inefficiency. You've got the concept of what we've always offered, which is, the simple street hail, and the app technology that's being brought. It's almost been forced on everybody. And I think, unfortunately, TfL really let the cat out of the bag on this one. And I think that they really need to reconsider what effect this is happening, or what's going on in sort of in the city of London. I'm sorry about that. But
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Because you got the situation where if this was say, like I think somebody mentioned before, it was like say it was a utilities, it was a fuel kind of, you know, they were moving away from coal, which they did, to kind of more sustainable energies. And I remember the coal miners. I mean, they built mountains of coal. They were really efficient workers. They built mountains of coal, so they was able to starve them out. But if there's moving away from what would now be a redundant industry to a new one, you could understand it. But the taxi trade is still a valid industry, isn't it? It's still a much sought-after industry, and regardless what people think, we still carry the lion's share of the work. So I think it's really funny that they're trying to screw on or bolt on this new what they would consider new innovation, and that's questionable, but new innovation onto what they would consider a kind of a municipal service that operated in a kind of a century that's, you know, different place, different time and all that. I think it's unfair to put that on us, because I think it's still a vital, valid, as I said, much sought after industry, you know. And so I think, is this idea that Plying for Hire, and you might have an opinion on this, but the idea that Plying for Hire, is it still relevant? Should it still be defined? I would say Mick, wouldn't you? You'd say the abstract laws are pretty defined in itself.
Well, no, the abstract of laws you're talking about with, Rusty volume here.
That was me. I would say that, they're pretty defined in and of themselves. I think it's pretty clear.
I think I'm all right. It just sounds very distant here for some reason, all right? I don't know what's going on here. That's the thing. But the thing is, it's only been defined in case law by judges, and the next judge that's had to make a decision has gone by previous what's gone on.
Right.
But what is... You know, how is it defined? Well, it's availability.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of other things.
Well, the abstract laws are very clear in the fact that it's... If you are found standing... I'm in and out, Mick. If you're found standing in the street, whether it's on a public highway or on a rank, you are applying for hire. If you're on a public highway for any other means, that's illegal. Now, that's quite clear. I think... To define it any differently, because people go, well, it's for the highlight. Highlight's not mentioned. The highlight is an indication, but it's not a determination.
Right. No. The actual in law, when you know, applying for hire, is when somebody sticks up their hand, and then you react to that.
That's right.
And then you engage in conversation. Well, that's it. That's when you come under the applying for hire laws. So regardless of whether you're sitting at a set of traffic lights with your light on or off.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't matter. You didn't respond to their hail.
That's right. So if we went by that hire light isn't, doesn't determine plying for hire. It is found standing. And how did this, because we can go back to the Welbeck case, go back to a lot of case history on this, but it's not taking into account a contemporary setting, is it? And I think that's the fall down with this. I know we can only go by law as it stands.
Well, we didn't have the internet or the mobile phone then.
No, we didn't. So we've got to accommodate it in a contemporary setting. And how do we define it in a contemporary setting? I've got an idea, but I'd like to hear your views on it. We're looking at defining plying for hire in a contemporary setting. So taking into account the technology of today, that applies. We can't turn the clock back as far as that goes. Well, we could. And maybe we should, but they would say we can't. And so how would you define it in and of itself, considering today's kind of, you know, the technology we have around today? That's what's important. Paul?
Yeah, so I was just going to say on that point, the really interesting thing about the whole concept of what plying for hire is, if you actually look at technology, you're getting people standing on, you know, staring at their phones, and they're actually raising their hand. So effectively... Despite having that technology, they're actually using their hands to call their vehicle, which isn't a taxi. So it's really weird how it's full circle.
Well, the thing on the app is, you see, they see all the vehicles moving about on the screen. They're displaying availability. Yeah. One of the constituents of applying for hire, there is case law. The real expert here, I wish he was here, a chap called, I say expert, but he reads up on these things. And, he's pretty much defined it down to where... Authorities have really been dodging the issue, and companies have been going through loopholes because it's not actually, you know, tight. We haven't actually got a clear definition of what it is. And even in today, I would say, Sean, we are. You can see what we are as a taxi by the distinguished vehicle that we drive, and the fact that we're immediately available for hire, either whilst in motion. Or from a stand or taxi rank. In fact, the first taxi rank was in the Strand back in the 1800s, I believe.
Was you there, Mick?
No, not quite.
But I think the more concerning thing is that we're having this innovation forced on us rather than actually trying to apply the definition of apply for hire.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's the foundation. That's what, we've actually in a situation where the cart is before the horse.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Well... But I mean, we'd have to look to the private hire regulations, wouldn't we? 1998 private hire regulations, if we were going to look at the illegality of their working model, wouldn't we? Because evidently now, and it's been self-evident from court cases, that the driver accepts the booking directly. It doesn't matter through what device. If the driver accepts the hiring, that is illegal.
Yeah.
Now, what you've got here is... It doesn't matter that they say it's almost simultaneous, almost to a nanosecond. It doesn't matter because it profoundly changes the way private hire is accessed, doesn't it? And that's why you've seen a rush of 50,000 minicabs, because they now can access what we basically are doing. And that, I think that's the illegality. I think that would be the easier one to kind of prove, as opposed to the availability and solicitation on the app.
And I think this is where the problem we're faced with TfL and the government, because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to cap private hire numbers. And what we're seeing is this mass implosion of private hire operating in the same way in which we...
No, that's an explosion. Yeah, we're the ones imploding.
Oh, well,
being suffocated.
Yes, yeah. I mean, absolutely. But this is the concern, because now the corporates are getting involved. This makes it a lot more of an uncomfortable ride for the taxi trade.
Oh, yeah.
Because more people are fraying investment. Everybody needs transport services, but no one has got a solution to efficiency. The most efficient system has always been the licensed taxi.
Yes, no, I agree. And what do you think?
Well, yeah, again, what do you think? Here we have a situation, don't we? Again, profoundly changes the way they're accessed. They will minimise this. I think we've got to be very, very aware of them trying to minimise this down to say, oh, by the time they've got into the vehicle, they already have each other's numbers. It doesn't matter. It's created chaos. I would say it's on the verge, certainly if you're in our industry, of civil unrest. Now, I think that transcends our industry. I think that goes wider into our families, but it also goes wider into society. The way people move about is massive. You find that places with a lot of intransience, places that there is, say, pedestrianisation, there's a lot of street crime. You know, because it doesn't have that movement through, it doesn't have that life to it. And I think so the way we move about is incredibly important. And I think this is a case in point. So we can't just change the way we kind of go about as taxi drivers. I think the knock-on effect is bigger than that. And I think it is really affecting everybody. And I think unless we kind of get a grips on that, we're still looking at a stranger picking up another stranger in a car, aren't we? And
well,
that's effectively what
with
is
their
happening.
Model, but war has actually been called on four-wheeled vehicles because the mayor has said he wants by 2020, was it 2020? He wanted 80% of all journeys in central London to be either on foot, on a bicycle, or public transport. And we already know that taxis are not really considered part of the public transport infrastructure within London.
We're not.
So, you know, we don't have access to all bus lanes, for example, because if that was the case and we were part of the integrated infrastructure, you know, I'm using these words that they use there.
No, you've got to do it.
Yeah, and in fact, there was one of the TV channels, I think it was the local London TV channel. There was a series, I just caught a glimpse of it this morning, the particular episode called Double Decker.
Yeah.
They were talking about buses, but having said that, they were talking about road planning and all the rest of it. And, you know, there's one woman up there in this particular episode who's in charge of the command of strategic planning or whatever it is. And she said, well, maybe look at all these cars, look at all this traffic. What we really should be doing is looking at, you know, other ways of people coming into work, walking, cycling and buses.
I'll tell you what they're doing there, though, and this really concerns me, because what they're doing is, you know, if they want everybody to walk or on cycles and even on buses, they're trying to localise people, aren't they? Because they know you can't cycle 20 miles every day, so unless you're very fit, but most of us can't. They're trying to localise us, and yet it's going to be controlled by multinational corporations, globalisation. So you're going to have those control it, but you've got to stay within this square mile of where you're operating, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's, you know, it's like kind of... you know, dumbing you down, keeping you there, monitored, tracked, all this.
Oh.
And but it can be controlled by corporations. And I think that is really putting the power. I mean, you would never, ever, ever have any control again, would you?
No, absolutely. I think that they're the major concerns. I think the fact is it's the freedom with which you were able to move around the city. And we can see that, you know, month in, month out now. You've got all these consultations going on. And this is what's going on. They're restricting all the places that you can move around. And I do think this is really concerning because it's almost like they're changing how we operate. And I think that's something that needs to be considered because the corporations are actually dictating policy in the future, and that is really concerning for our industry.
Yeah, I think we'll broaden on this. We'll have a look at we'll talk about future transport and where that's heading, because there's one or two ideas that people have on that. And if you looked at the graphics that TfL put out, it's all going to look marvellous, isn't it? Not the case at the moment, though, is it? When you go around the Vauxhall Gyratory, it doesn't look like there's the sun's out, the leaves are on the trees, and everybody's in bikinis.
No, there's not much room to gyrate around there.
No, well, I don't know. I do my best.
All right, let's take a... Well, let's hold our breaths.
This is London Taxi Radio. Get involved. You're tuned in to the most powerful radio station in the world.
Playing the hits. Back to back.
London Taxi Radio.
You're listening to London Taxi Radio.
London Taxi Radio. The station just for cabbies. www.londontaxiradio.co.uk. We play what you want to hear.
Right. Are we back? Yes, I think we are. Absolutely live radio. Although technically this can all be edited out. You know that beginning bit that we forgot to.
Yeah, I can edit it back in again.
You could, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and just Sean will afterwards, we'll do a thing where Sean says, oh, well, welcome to London Taxi Radio. And, you know, and maybe have some bells and whistles in it. And
have a bit of respect. Bit of respect.
All right. Cool.
Have a bit of respect.
Okay. Yep, fine.
Respect.
found. London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
Broadcasting from a secret location. You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio.
There you go, especially. Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, that's better. I think that's a bit better. That's a bit better, isn't it? There you go. There you go.
I'm a bit disappointed.
Why's that?
I'm a bit disappointed, right, because...
We've got Jamie back on the mic, yeah?
Because John keeps filming me, and he don't warn me, so I can breathe in and look good on the camera.
Well, I've got my glasses on, just to help me read, you know? Look like the school teacher.
Yeah.
Well,
Sean. I've got to say, I'm impressed.
No talking
because
about
I didn't think he'd learnt how to use this properly, and it looks like he's been practising.
Jamie's impressed, can you believe it? I'm
impressed.
Unbelievable.
Sean,
unbelievable.
Joe put out on our WhatsApp group to put the phone number out again.
Yeah, go on, Sean. Let's see if you can remember the phone number.
Oh,
go on,
sorry,
Sean.
Go on, Sean. I put you on the spot.
Put Sean on the spot.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's Joe. Well done for turning up.
Joe can't turn up because he's got cold.
Come on, 020-8114-8294. Give us a call. We've got Saul who's joined us. Remember Saul?
Yes, hello, everyone.
Biblical, lovely name, lovely. Wore his hair like Jesus wore it. It's fantastic, but we've still got, before we come to Saul, we've still got the master whose theme music is playing in the background, isn't it? Combination of three things there.
How did that get on there?
Jamie, can I ask you one question?
Go on.
Very important. How did you manage with the snow last week? Did you get out? Did you get any food?
Yeah, I did.
Did you stock up before?
Yeah, I've got a really good video of me getting out and getting back again. And I will post it up on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was going up the hill because we're 523 foot above sea level.
Okay.
Yeah? So I was going up the hill, and there's six of us in the car. Yeah. And we come round a blind bend. Now, bearing in mind, this is like a toboggan run.
Yeah.
And we come round a blind bend to be met with a woman and a load of children with sledges in the middle of the road.
Right.
Yeah. And I hit the brakes.
Yeah.
And there was no
way. Were you in the cab or were you in the other vehicle, the 4x4?
Yeah. There was no way we were stopping.
Right.
Because it was just complete sheet ice. So I just threw it into the hedge and we did a 180 degree spin and just went back the other way and turned around again and told them to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hazardous the other night.
It was, wasn't it?
Hazardous?
It was, really.
We had 2 foot of snow.
Sean.
I mean, you're the countryside, though, in your dirt tracks and things like that.
I'll come to it quickly, but I mean, that transport from Buckingham Palace, was it Saturday night? Did the police blame the snow on a certain vehicle going into the gates where there was no snow?
It's always a certain vehicle, though, isn't
it? Certain vehicle,
if they were
Prius.
If they were any skidded on the snow or ice and went into them gates, they're as stupid as they make out they are or as they sound.
Well, there is that.
Because he hit them gates... 90-degree angle.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not being funny. If he'd have gone into it at a 45-degree angle, there might have been a bit of credence towards it being a road traffic accident. But him going into him at a 90-degree angle, I'm not being funny. How on earth did he do it?
I know.
Did he take aim?
It
probably took aim and fired.
Mm. I mean, there's a load of...
He was looking for Windsor Castle, though, actually. Yes, that's why he was facing
I think the sat-nav, he put in Buckingham Gate.
Buckingham Gate, yeah. He ran straight into it, yeah.
There's a load of bollards. Mind you, I must say, I'm coming around there, and if you're not used to all those bollards there that separate the cycle lane from where you're supposed to be driving, it is mightily confusing.
Yeah.
And as you come down Constitution Hill, they've done the same there, and you think... Hang on a second, where am I supposed to go? It's a really odd setup.
Can I say something that plays on my mind, mind of a cab driver work? Anyone fed up with the cones around Buckingham Palace? How ugly it looks.
It looks horrible.
It doesn't look ugly. Yeah.
Well, originally, the palace had said they wasn't going to have cycle lanes across there.
Yeah.
There was a real conflict with TfL and those kind of royal parks, wasn't there? They wasn't going to have any, but it looks like they've conceded something.
Do you think they've got put them in for the grandchildren?
A point of order, Mr. New Proprietor of London Taxi Radio.
Yeah.
for next time, can we have some microphone stands that actually reach our mouth so that we haven't got to hold the mics in our hands?
Well, we could do with some chairs. We did bring a couple of chairs down.
I know. The cameraman sitting on one.
Holding it like this. I feel like I should start singing holding it like this. Yeah, a Periscope would see this, but of course, the listeners on the podcast...
Super Cabby's voice.
I'll tell you what, Super Cabby's got a great voice.
Mac the Cabby.
Have you heard him sing?
Yes.
The Cabby's choice.
We should put you on. That's pretty good. That's what smoking
and
effect.
I think to myself, it's the... Which not, is it?
Yeah, so. That's the smoking effect. Anyway,
back to...
We'll get back to what we're talking about. So we still want to hear from you, don't we?
Yeah.
On the thorny issue of Plan for Hire, we've also got the idea of compensation. Mm. You was at the demonstration, wasn't you, Paul?
Saul.
What's his name? His name was Paul, wasn't it?
Biblical. Yeah, King Paul and Saul. That's it.
But it was, wasn't it? It was interchangeable.
I'll ask you a question.
Even in the Jude.
Yeah.
I'll ask you a question.
Go on.
Right. Last week, or the week before, there was a tweet went out that Uber were offering £350,000 to give up your license.
I did read it.
Yes.
Yeah, which was obviously a load of old rubbish. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in this room here, we've got 5 cab drivers. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much would it cost for you to surrender your licence?
£5.50.
Yeah? You're cheap.
Oh, I'm that cheap. I'm free. You're cheap. Don't worry about that.
How much would it cost for you to surrender your licence?
Oh, in my heart, I wouldn't surrender it.
What about you, John? Would you...
No way.
Hang on a second, Saul. There wasn't a third option here, your heart?
Well, no. I'll tell you something in a minute.
I'll tell him. £10 million, then.
Right, I'll allow him that. Go on, John. What?
Yeah, I'll surrender my licence.
Yeah, how much?
£150,000.
£150,000?
I'm 50. Yeah. Now, so I don't want to work it out.
15 years left?
Maybe 50. Yeah, something like
15
that.
Years. So you want £375,000 is £525,000. Yeah, £525,000. What about you, Paul?
I've got to say, I could not put a figure on what that means to me. I think it far outweighs any amount of money anyone could offer. The fact that it would be here in the future. Absolutely.
I'm in two minds because I don't think I could accept money off of Uber.
No.
But if it was TfL offering it to take away our trade, I'd take their money. It'd have to be a lot of money, but I'd take their money. But I don't think I could take Uber's money.
Did you say an amount?
I think you've got to be looking minimum of £200,000. You know, the way you've got to look at it is if you're not working, £200,000, you could probably survive for 8 years not working on that sort of money. Yeah. So, which is a fair amount of time, and you can retrain and do something else in that sort of time. Mm. So. That'd be a fair sort of amount of money. £350,000 would be nice, because that means you could survive for 10 years quite comfortably.
Yeah, but do you remember doing the knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Say you're coming towards your wreck, yeah?
Yeah.
You're about to get it.
Yeah.
And you were offered like £1 million or get your badge. Remember what it was like. Oh. Remember what it was like. Yeah. Would you accept that £1 million?
Yeah.
I remember going through my... Yeah, but that's 5 minutes after you've got your badge, isn't it?
I'm talking about the process. Listen, £1 million is a life-changing sum of money. I would have been touched with £1 million.
I think you could end up dead.
I mean, joking apart, this gets kind of to the root of this journey we've all been on the last 5-6 years, and the ones, because there are obviously, unfortunately, drivers leaving the trade. Mm. And
There's one quite prominent one decided to back it in today, actually.
Yeah.
Who's
that?
Mickey Tinian decided that he's after 16 years.
Which I want to talk about that as well. There's something, but my point is that we've worked so hard to get to where we are. I've lost my train of thought there.
That's all right. What we'll do is we'll have a bit of that. That was, I'm used to Mick the Brit being here for Get Involved, but give us a call on 0208 11 144 8294, and that's if, how much would it take for you to leave the trade? But Saul's got his thought line back, so here we go.
I'll go back to what the second thought line on Mickey, is it Mickey Tinian? Yeah. What I'd like to say is, I mean, I saw him say that on Twitter today, and I'd say 70% of the tweets that he got back. Now, I know Twitter can be a vile place, can't it? And especially with names that aren't, so we can't associate, don't know who they are. But I'd say about 70% of the tweets back to him were very negative and calling him a, you know.
Well, they accused him of being up. Negative, didn't they? They said it was a negative tweet. And why?
Yeah, why do we need to hear it?
Why do we need to hear it?
Yeah.
And all it was an honest tweet.
That's
and
it.
He was just saying, after 16 years, guys, bye.
That's right.
There's nothing negative about that.
There's nothing negative about that. It was the people that were replying to it were more negative than what he was.
Yeah.
So I can't see how they can say he's being negative. And I've got to be honest, you know, Mickey Tinian's like, to some people, a bit Marmite. I like Mickey. I get on really well with Mick. And I think he's a really nice bloke. And, you know, I think he's a loss to the trade, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, anybody that's leaving the trade after 16 years is a bit of a loss. If they're leaving it under the circumstances we find ourselves today, because... Whatever we think, even of you know, those cab drivers we think might let the side down, might let the side down, and I'm not saying they do, but might let the side down. Even that contingency that do that, they didn't ask for this to happen to them, did they?
No.
They didn't. It just happened. They've been hijacked.
Yeah.
And whatever we think, it shouldn't have happened. Whatever.
No,
you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And so anybody that leaves the trade because of circumstances of today, then that's I don't think is fair. And I think that brings us back to the compensation issue, doesn't it? And you could get in touch with us over that.
Each man and woman is entitled to their view, aren't they? And they've got to make personal decisions about their life and their lifestyle. And every driver's got a different perspective on what they want to earn. So you'll hear the drivers that will come out, the older drivers maybe for beer money. You might have someone who's a sort of middle-aged man with a young family and he needs to earn X amount of money. You know, so we're all different. So no, I would never, I won't judge another driver on the decisions he makes.
It's quite funny because I asked Rob Cardwell that question earlier. Yeah.
Okay.
When we was recording Cab Chat, and quite categorically, quite categorically turned around and said, "No, I would not accept their money."
That's
excellent. Now Rob's a suburban driver, and he said he wouldn't accept their money. Anyway, I want to get onto a different subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sean's a new proprietor of London Taxi Radio, and this is his new show.
Right.
The show with no name.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah. No name, and it needs to find its own identity.
It was
well.
Intentional, though, listeners.
Sean and Guest.
Yeah, Sean and Guest. No. Yeah.
Well, that's imaginative.
Come into my cupboard.
Come into my cupboard.
Come into my cupboard.
You know, I know we've banded.
Oh, that sounds a bit ominous, doesn't it?
We have banded around. We are London, haven't we? We've banded around that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's more of a saying than a name
it
for
is,
a show.
It is.
Yeah.
But maybe. So, again,
put it out to the listeners.
And if you've got an idea for a name of this show, and it is intentional to bring it to the listeners tonight, because I think we want to get them involved. As Mick the Brit would say. So get involved and, you know, maybe think of a name. Put your thoughts in there and tweet it. Tweet it and we'll read them out. See what
There are certain names it can't be. It can't be get involved.
No, it can't be get involved.
It can't be getting involved because that's a saying that Mick called
out. To help people out, Sean. Sorry, Danny.
Also, it can't be Taxi Talk.
Because no,
obviously
there was
a magazine that was called Taxi Talk.
Which was an idea originally we came to.
So it can't be that. It can't really be We Are London because that's more of a saying. So it needs to be a unique name for the show. And also, if anyone can suggest, because Sean wants a bit of bedding music in the background, and if anyone can suggest some sort of music that he can have in the background, because really it can't be the same as what we use on Cab Chat, because otherwise everything just sounds the same.
Yeah, that's right, morphed.
So it needs to be something different. So if anyone can think of some instrumental music that Sean can use on the show, then let him know.
And Sean, need to clarify as well, how often the show is going to go out? Because that will influence the name. What's the plan, Sean?
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. I guess this is the plan for the show. We've got to do a live show because, you know, it's radio, isn't it? So let's do a live show, keep it live, and that's once a month. We do plan to do it from here. Got to sort the place out, really. Got to sort it out. But it's all right. And we're on view and it gets people involved. Nice weather's coming, isn't it? So everybody can be out in the...
Great Suffolk Street.
One size too small speedo.
Well, to be honest with you, once the nice weather comes, if you go and buy a nice gazebo, you could pitch it up in the corner there and have an extension lead going outside and do it out there.
I mean, wouldn't that be lovely?
I mean, a bit of background noise in the background doesn't really make no difference with these talk microphones.
So you're planning to do once a month, Sean?
What's that? Yeah, once a month.
And then what about the other weeks? Is there anything planned?
What we're going to do, we definitely, there's going to be a podcast going out. There's going to be a podcast going out every single week.
Yeah.
So it won't be live, but it'll be a podcast. And hopefully there'll be a different structure to that. But I'm going to keep a little bit of a surprise there going.
Okay.
And, you know, Mick the Brit's back on board.
Well,
you never know. Yes. You never know what's going
to
happen.
You never know. And I have another voice to introduce.
Go ahead.
Mr. Paul Bond.
Yes. Paul Bond. Now,
reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Really? Really?
Yeah, you're looking a bit peaky.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not playing for my age. I'm 116.
I wouldn't mind. When he pulled in here, he thought I was the garage attendant and asked me to fill him up and wash his windscreen for
him. He asked you to do what?
Yeah, fill him up. He asked me, well, it's your job, isn't it? You can fill him up. Sean will fill you up later.
I knew it was wrong because I knew they didn't sell overalls in that size.
That's right. Well, Paul, come on. You are, you know, a strong advocate. You're an RMT member.
Yes, you're an RMT member. Yeah.
So you'll be a strong advocate of defining plying for hire, aren't you?
Absolutely. See, the issue is, really, is that we can go back to the... This is the thing. When they licensed that famous private hire company, PFL sought a legal opinion on whether their working method was legal.
That's right.
Now, they've always been chary about revealing that. They say, well, it's legally privileged and all that. Well, let me tell you this, folks. Let me tell you this. That if that legal opinion had told TFL that what they were doing wasn't plying for hire... They'd put it on billboards right across London. And ever since then, they've had to make it up as they go along, and they've been backpedalling ever since. Now, it was an option between either us getting that issue before the courts or that operator suing them for licensing them incorrectly.
That's right.
They've taken the soft option. Mm. They're prepared to let a 350-year-old trade suffer in great distress rather than take on an American megalith. That's the answer, folks. We all know about applying for hire. The abstracts of law are quite clear. Exhibition and that's availability. Right. Solicitation is touting. That's so right. It's all there.
Absolutely, Paul.
It's all there.
And if they decided, a bit like what they did with Addison and Leach, amended the cab order, because it would only take perhaps one amendment of the private hire regulations to allow it, what do you think should be the consequences of that?
Well, the thing is, you see, TFL believe that ground zero, if you like, the first day on Earth, was when the Private Hire Act came out. They've disregarded 150 years of cab trade regulation.
Right. Yeah.
That's the real issue. They don't understand their own law.
Yeah. So would you say compensation was in order if they decided to, you know, kind of do away with that, you know, kind of... The contravention in the legislation. Yeah. They decided to do away with that. So an app job is just an app job now, and that's okay.
Well, they've got to decide whether they want a two-tier system.
Well, that's right. But guys.
But there is no
impetus for the two-tier system, is there? You wouldn't... Because you'd feel the energy, wouldn't you? You'd feel the robust enforcement.
Absolutely, but it's their declared policy. It's the mayoral
that's
policy.
Right.
But
that's right.
Can I just say something? I mean, I wasn't in on the earlier discussion, but, Sean, is that not us... admitting defeat when you talk about compensation? Because it sounds as if you're saying, okay, we accept that private hire company, American company, are going to allow to operate, and
not.
I want compensation.
Definitely not.
He
apologised, yeah. Dara Cowell, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, CEO.
Apologised, saying that they had committed gross negligence, yeah. So if they committed gross negligence, then surely TfL were negligent in licensing them
in
the first place.
That's right.
So not only are Uber liable for running roughshod over the cab trade, but TfL are liable for putting our industry in jeopardy by negligently licensing Uber in the first place.
If I may ask Paul a question. Paul, I'm not sure, in terms of listeners out there and listening, the question will always come up about which org or who's going to take Transport for London to court about what we're talking about, this compensation, but it's not as simple as that, is it?
Absolutely not, because what's happened now is that if you try to bring out a private prosecution for that matter, that matter before the courts on a civil basis, the Director of Public Prosecutions would intervene and pull the plug on it.
Okay.
It's only TfL can bring that matter before the courts, or
that's
even
right.
the Department for Transport.
Yeah. Okay.
It has to be a public body, and that's why... Listen, guys, this is why they are using every trick in the book to try and prevent the Reading case appearing before the magistrate until they've managed to change the legislation, because the DPP cannot stop Reading bringing that case before the court.
Right, OK.
And that's a really key... People seem to forget how important the Reading case is, because the Reading case will restate the case law that already exists, and from that TFL will be forced to act.
And I mean, yeah, and I mean, you have to go by the prevailing legislation, don't you? I guess you do.
Yeah. Well, we can all, yeah, they can always surmise about what the Law Commission might or might not do, whether it can get the legislation through Parliament this side of Brexit, if Brexit ever happens, or if the San Andreas Fault opens up and swallows Uber's office into a great big hole. Who knows what can happen in the future? But at the moment, the law is the law.
That's right.
And what was, again, because I wasn't involved in the earlier conversation, you may have brought this up, but the business, because again, listeners will be asking, thinking, sitting, listening to this, with Courtney and what happened there. What was that about? Any information on that?
I can tell you quite a lot about that. I don't think it's the right time to say anything about it at the moment. I do know a lot about it, but now is probably not the right time.
Is it a positive for us?
Yeah, it can be. But I need to speak to Courtney a little bit more. He didn't want to, I was talking to him in the cafe the other night, and he did say give me a call and speak to me a bit more about it. So I don't want to put anyone on the spot, just information. He said if anyone wants to know, ask him. Yeah. And he'll tell them. Okay. But I don't want to go broadcasting it without his permission
to do so.
So I'm not going to say too
much. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It is on people's lips at the moment, isn't it?
That's why I asked.
Whether it was a win or whether it was just, Uber not turning up. But it did seem the figure that he was awarded did seem like for a 24-hour period. I don't know whether that's the case. I'm just going by what it seemed like. And so... You got conflicting stories that it wasn't a particular win, and you got other stories that it was.
It wasn't for a 24-hour period. It's for 2 weeks before before the date of the statement. I can tell you that. I mean, because that's public knowledge. Okay. On the court thing. So.
We've got someone coming. Hello, Grant.
Okay. How about that?
I've got one last advice, Paul. Anyone out there? Yeah. Never accept a caution.
No, that's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
The police
Absolutely.
Station the other day, where a cab driver had let's say a physical disagreement with a passenger.
Right.
And in order so he could get home at the end of his shift, he decided that the police had convinced him, well, would you take a caution?
Just sign this and you're off you go, son.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So, one, it closes down all the avenues, but there's only one little chink of light.
Yeah.
Is that when you receive a caution,
yeah,
it must be explained to you by an officer inspector rank and above.
Okay.
And what it means. And as far as we can see with this caution, that wasn't done. So we're going to go for a procedural irregularity,
yeah,
and have the caution expunged.
Okay.
But we're a long way, and that's a long-winded process. But apart from that, be lucky.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Paul.
Paul Potter, there you go. We've got, I thought I'd been shot.
Change then. Over here.
I thought I'd been shot. Yeah. See you, Paul. Thanks for that, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
RMT's Paul Bond.
I've got a confession to make now.
What's that?
I was asked to get in touch with Grant to send a little message through to you. And
you did.
I forgot.
Oh, really?
So he can do it now.
Really?
It was his birthday last week. And he's had a bit of a crappy
year. You was the only one, Grant.
Oh, and me. I didn't get no message.
Oh, no.
Didn't give you a message,
Paul.
My friend.
You know,
so happy 50th.
49, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, 49, there you go, then.
Yeah, he's getting old.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Thank you, Grant. We got the lovely, the cuddly, we got Grant Davies from the LCDC. How's it going, Grant? You're all right?
Yeah, it's going.
Come when you like. It's all right.
I've heard that before, though.
How's it going out there? What's the feel out there on the street?
Well, tomorrow I've got a meeting with LEVC.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, that's
interesting. We're going to bring that up. Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I've been told there's going to be some breaking news tomorrow.
I don't know what it is.
It's got to be cost. But I'm not trying to...
It's either going to be cost or they're reducing the age limit down to 10 years.
Oh, that's game over if it's 10 years. I don't think so. These are...
They just bought a new cab.
Grant's just bought a 9-year-old cab.
I'm out of work next year. I think with these zero emission cabs that we're being told we have to buy, shouldn't be an age limit at all.
Well, that's right.
Because
that's right.
The age limits was all down to the emissions that the vehicle gave off. So if it's not giving any emissions out...
Well, of course it is. Of course it gives emissions out. Yeah. Because over 50% of the trade can't have a charge point installed, so they're going to run around on petrol all the time. And also, those that do charge it up every night, there's been emissions being created somewhere else to power them. So well, there's no such thing as a zero emissions vehicle.
Well, we know that.
So I don't care what anyone says. It's
there's no such thing as a free lunch.
As Mac the Cab says, it's smoke screen and mirrors.
Well, we know that they've got to do something. Because I was just there's a tweet from Heather the other day, and she said, in this week in 2017, 56 new taxis were purchased.
How many was off the road? 200?
I don't know. 9 weeks into this year, only 14 new taxis have been registered.
Yeah, and 264 have come off the road.
That's
which
right.
Which means a deficit of 250
absolutely.
So far, and that was till the end of February. And that doesn't take into account, we're now 1 week into March, so how many more cabs have come off the road since? And there has been no new vehicles licensed in the last week.
Well, when we done that, I think it was a couple of years ago, remember with all the ULEZ and ZEC and everything, when this was all disputed and talked about, we produced a dossier that we submitted to the GLA, and part of that was that the mayor, whoever that be at the time, could not bring in the scrapping of the vehicles until there was two vehicles that met the ZEC requirement.
Right, yeah.
Where at the moment we've only got one.
Absolutely.
And it should be at least two. But I spoke to them last week, Dynamo up in Coventry.
Oh, yeah.
He tells me they've got 100 deposits down already.
Lovely.
Right.
For the
totally useless for me.
For the MV200.
By the time I drive in, I'd have to drive back home again, as I wouldn't make it.
Well, he said there's 175 miles per charge.
Yeah, and,
right.
And that'll come down.
£5 a charge.
That'll come down.
Oh, what's happening here? Look at this.
Birthday cake for Paul.
Happy birthday to Sean.
Happy birthday, dear Sean.
Happy birthday to you.
Do you know what speech? But I know he does it. He never knows what to say,
speech.
Does he?
Okay, no.
Speech.
Come on, Sean.
Come on. I'm speechless.
I'm undeserving. That's for sure.
I thought you was going to say.
I mean, they're all here. Look, Paul Harris, you've got Grant Davis, you've got Myrna, of course, you've got Parker Cabin, Taxi League's Jim Thomas, of course, Lenny the Pen. You got Linda Morris, you got the Crumb Slayer.
Lenny, that looks a bit ominous.
Steve Garlick is on his way.
Steve Garlick is on his way. So in front. I tell you what, he's got a great voice. There you go. I've overachieved. There you go. I've overachieved.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Look at that for a cake.
Blow it out, Paul.
Parker, get that cake, isn't it? Lovely. Look.
I mean, God bless you. God bless you all.
Blow it out, mate.
I want to put one thing
on. Make a wish.
Hey. Sean, don't blow too hard.
We don't want to know.
I can read minds, and I stopped at the old leopard skin thong there. I just thought, I'm not going nowhere.
Come on, that's one size too small, leopard skin thong. I'll have you know. I'm undeserving, really, of this. But I will have you know that it's not 50, I'm 49. So there you go, Raging Amelia. But I'm 49. I'm not going to. Steve Garlick said, this is fantastic to have. Of all you people here, this is. I am. Words fail me.
Oh, Steve.
And that don't happen often.
No.
That really don't happen often.
I'm not swearing.
I'm
not swearing.
Come
and see.
Steve, come here.
Say a few words, because we've got.
No, you do.
This is a. Hang on. What we've got here is a first for London Taxi Radio. Well, he's given an interview before, but he's never come on.
He's been on the breakfast show.
Yes, he phoned into the breakfast show, didn't you? See? Yeah, it's Steve Garlick from the GMB.
Good evening, happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Steve. Am I still younger than you? Is that the way it works?
Oh, that's very easy. I listen, I'm
a... Oh, hang on a second. Hang on, folks. Close the door. Steve, you've come to the forefront recently, haven't you? I have. I think it's your periscoping. Fantastic stuff. But what's happening with you? I'll ask you the same question as Grant. What's the feel on the street out there for you?
Well, I mean, there's I don't even know where to begin. There's multiple issues, not just with London, but elsewhere. I took a call today from a driver who'd taken a journey into Milton Keynes. He's an E7 taxi driver, had his door kicked off and was assaulted, waited 30 minutes for the police to show up. Police He's actually got the details of who the perpetrators are. The police still aren't prosecuting. And this is a common story around the country.
They don't want to know about taxi drivers.
They don't want to know. They don't want to know. They don't want. They don't care if you're bilked. It's civil. They don't care if you're not making an income. And frankly, when it comes down to this question of Uber deciding they'll divvy up the country,
yeah,
make their own rules around what licensing and planning is and everything else, it's an absolute mockery. And nobody is standing up over this.
No.
I've written now to the mayor on this. I've written to the DfT on this. Because as far as I'm concerned, it cannot continue that you have a company deciding the rules and regulations for the rest of the country.
Well, that's right.
And I think with these the licence increases, I know you're JR in it, Steve, yeah?
Yeah, we've
got... Is that happening?
Well, that's the licence increases are LPHCA.
Right.
However, frankly, the licence increases that we're seeing potentially we'll see the smallest operators forced out while the large operators can afford to charge what they want.
I think, to be honest, at the club we feel that them increasing the operator fees, it's almost like saying to Uber, you've got to pay 2.9 million, but for that, you have London.
You get the keys to the kingdom.
That's what you get. If you want to be the only supplier in London, it's going to cost you nearly 3 million to do it. And that's what it is.
And it is. And it's absolutely wrong. But then, you know, there's all sorts of other issues. We've had, I've just been at a GMB meeting tonight and we've had TfL there. I brought up this question, which was left open from the mayor's report that came out last week about the door being left open for taxis to be charged congestion charge. You know, investing 60-odd grand in a new electric vehicle and then suddenly a bit further down they go, oh, you know what, mate? We're going to charge you congestion because, frankly, we need to get our money in from somewhere else.
On the back of that as well, Steve, I think we've got to be very careful when taxi drivers are going, oh, private hire should have congestion charge, because I think that makes private hire very valuable to TfL and taxi drivers just being a net plus. I don't think it's doing us any favours, but also it's one step away from taxi drivers. You wish it on them. You're bringing it on yourself, I think. I think we've got to think very carefully about private hire being given.
With their skin.
Yes,
TfL are absolutely bankrupt. And I just think they're going to look at charging anyone anything they can, to be honest, because they're going skint.
That's right.
And the irony is, we're putting it in the badge, is when you look how much TfL aided and abetted Uber. And they don't make no money, Uber, do they? They're losing money.
Yeah,
TfL are bankrupt now because it's cheaper to get an Uber than a bus.
That's right.
So they've tried to screw us.
Yeah.
And they've ended up screwing themselves.
Well,
it's
have.
Ironic, isn't it?
They have.
Yeah, but you've got a bigger problem also, because when you actually look at this shared ride business that's coming up, and suddenly what I call them, the taxi operators who aren't even licensed are suddenly on the bandwagon over this. Forget the fact they're charging these blooming ridiculous fixed price fares. When I last looked, there was a meter inside a taxi, and you see them charging these ridiculous fixed price fares, and then the next thing you say, like, you know what, you're becoming a bus. I sat in a meeting, this is no word of a lie, with SEPA, who are the people undertaking this engagement for TfL, and the guy said, oh yeah, there's this wonderful thing in San Francisco. This is no word of a lie. He said, there's this wonderful thing in San Francisco. You don't actually do like Uber Pool where they stop left, right and centre. People meet you along a route. And I said, yeah, that's called a bus stop.
Yeah. I
seriously cannot believe this bloke had bought in to the whole thing. And what added to that was the fact that Steve Wright from LPHCA said, you know, here's the thing, you're bigging up a company that's had its licence revoked.
I know, it's scandalous.
Right. That's
And that's
scandalous.
And again, a company where you see, you know, Kozlowski saying, what did he say yesterday? Oh, you know what? Kozlowski, he's saying, oh, you know what? MIT, the largest or one of the biggest best known academic institutes, 88 Nobel laureates from MIT, 88, and he's saying, you know what, they haven't got this right, they've absolutely got this wrong over $3 odd for what a driver's earning, and that tells you everything. He's already bought into what they are.
Looking at the pooling issue, do you think it can actually work, because you've got I mean, with the private hire industry, do you think that, because you've got British people, the old stiff upper lip, they don't want to share a cab with a stranger, do they?
Especially cab drivers, cab users.
That's right. And you've got different cultures are uneasy, sharing a cab.
Here's the thing. First and foremost, when it first started, people were calling it Uber Pool, but P-U-L-L, because people were thinking it's a chance to meet up with another person in the video.
I might set it up myself.
So then you've got a situation. You get a Millwall fan gets in, and there's a Chelsea fan inside.
How about that? I'd love it. I'd pay to see that.
And then you've got the driver expecting to not only be the arbiter of whatever happens in that vehicle and try and protect each other, but he's basically, or she's basically, in a position where, frankly, they're going to more likely to be that one.
Then
they're also paying an extra percentage to actually do a pool journey, which actually costs the driver more overall than a normal journey.
But as we know, they've all bought into this since with Kalski and everything, the Silicon Valley, Uber pool, free transportation, urban development. TfL think they're so trendy and cool, jumping in on the back of it. And what's Uber done, really, is destroy the two-tier system that we've had in London since the 60s,
sure,
really.
You could only look at what Leon Daniels said when he was basically trying to come up with new great ideas to help Uber along with their business model. Yeah. Frankly, he's there to act as a licensing operation. They're there to license and protect the public, not there to come up with business ideas. It's not their job.
I mean, we've got some stuff in the bags this month, and we've regurgitated the speech that Leon Daniels gave to the Surface Transport Panel in 2014. And he's saying things like, no, we're happy that when you book a job on Uber, it goes to the operator who sends it to San Francisco on the server, then it goes to the passenger. All stuff like that. That has all been debunked now by Uber admitting that they lied. Yeah, he said that they had a landline, and we all that the landline he gave out was Joe Bertram's.
Yeah.
So you had a guy who had one of the most powerful positions in TfL, certainly over our industry, and he has now been caught bang to rights lying. But where does that leave us? And this is my worry with the Uber licensing, right? Uber's been put on the naughty step by TfL. Not revoked, but on the naughty step. So if they come back in a few months' time and say, we're going to do that. I read in the paper the other week in the Times a big startling disruptive tech announcement that Uber's going to get a landline. Well, that's funny because Leon Daniels said that they did have a landline. I mean, this guy's lied to the GLA, he's lied to TfL, he's lied to the cab trade, he's lied to the private hire industry. How can this man get away with that?
Well, I think
how can he get away with lying and destroying the two-tier system in London? Surely he's culpable. There must be legal challenges that can be brought against him as a person now.
I don't think, unfortunately, there are. There's this mea culpa situation. What I would say is what really makes all of this unusual to me is that we were asking for a landline when we put in our original consultation response, and then they were looking for ways out of it. And regardless of that, that didn't happen. We were asking for protection for drivers, a landline for drivers, because frankly, you know as well as I do, whether you're private hire or taxi, you are open to assault and bilking. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Verbal assault, physical assault. Nobody gets out of bed, goes to work with the expectation of that. They expect to get back to their family and have a quality of life.
But that's how a regulator should be thinking.
Well, that's right.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah,
the fun.
But you know what? That's why we've got to do the job for them, as far as I'm concerned. I don't mind sticking my head above the parapet daily for whatever assault I get, because I know that full well, when you're working in one of the most soul-destroying, there's complete solitude when you're driving. Yeah, you can tweet. Yeah, you've got Facebook. Yeah, you can chat with friends on the phone, or you can do dinner if you're at a fine establishment like we are at tonight. But the reality of the matter is when you're on your own, you're on your own. And people say, you know, I've just done the radio just a short while before I got in LBC, and the guy said, well, you don't have to do that job. As if you can suddenly just toss away whatever you've done.
Exactly.
It says, you know what? Oh yeah, I'll go and just get that job at Goldman Sachs tomorrow instead, because they'll take me on with all I've got. The presumption that, employment's gone down. No, it hasn't. They've massaged the figures with the gig economy jobs that they've suddenly given to everyone, and suddenly they're not signing on. The reality is these people are living hand to mouth.
Well, it's like last week, Sadiq Khan come out in a tweet and talking about Deliveroo, saying what a great company they were. Deliveroo, they're going to stop putting their food in plastics, or the food that they pick up in plastic. You've got the Mayor of London talking about a company who's had to be taken to court by its employees for human rights and workers' rights. Don't pay any tax, paying them £6 an hour. Is this really the company that Sadiq Khan should be, you know, championing right from the rooftops on personal tweets? Sadiq, I don't think so, my friend, yeah?
Well, isn't it good? We've got Steve Garlick from the GMB, Grant Davis from the LCDC, in the studio today on London Taxi Radio. So we're going to have to wind it up, folks, you know that.
Who are we winding up tonight, then?
Well, yeah, is it you? Is it me? Is it,
have you got his own number?
No. He couldn't make it from that other organisation.
Could be any one of us, couldn't it?
So, can you ask? Can we ask the gentleman here a question in terms?
Go on the mic, Saul.
All right, I'll ask Grant, and then of course to Steve. How do you see this year panning out?
I think. How do I say personally? I think it's going to be a good year. I think Sean's turned 50.
49.
49 and 11 months and 30 days, which is a good thing. I think we could all be pleasantly surprised. I think, you know what's going to really hurt Uber is TfL, because they're skint. They want money.
Yeah.
I know a lot of doom-mongers out there say that Uber's going to get relicensed and it's going to be Armageddon. You know what? Something inside me thinks that... I picked a guy up, he was in the House of Lords, and he said up in the top echelons, what TfL are really worried about and all the investors is they've spent all these billions of pounds on Crossrail. People ain't going to use it. They're going to get Uber Paul, and they're going to be left holding the baby, the biggest white elephant in London.
Yeah.
So they want their revenue. And now they know that they're not getting the revenue because of Uber.
Mm.
So I might be pleasantly surprised. I might be wrong. If I knew what I was talking about all the time, I'd go down the betting office tomorrow.
Steve, how is this new kind of charge, though, affecting the smaller companies out there? What we would consider the legitimate private hire. Private hire, yeah.
I'll answer both. So this charge is obviously going to really hurt the smaller 10 to 20 operators.
The licence fee, Steve.
So the licence fee will hit them. Turning to this year, let's first and foremost talk about Judge Arbuthnot, okay? Obviously, I've got the experience of Judge Arbuthnot when she made the decision to allow us into the case. But I'm lucky enough to have had experience of Judge Arbuthnot with one of our GMB taxi driver members. Now, obviously, I can't mention their name, but I've got to tell you, she went out of her way to help our member.
Right.
I'll tell you that now. Right. And I think she's the most phenomenal judge. There's a reason she's the senior judge. There's a reason when Reading had their case and they Uber's QC decided he'd be a bit cute and try and get the case in for the drivers directly after the Uber hearing. She said, no, you know what? I'll hear it before. She wasn't born yesterday.
That is great.
She was not born yesterday. No. How do I see the year going? We've got a DfT report that GMB is heavily involved in. Not totally happy with everything that's happening there. Yes, I am aware to certain snippets, let's put it like that. A lot needs to be firmed up. We're looking at the whole Ply thing. And we've got some strong ideas on that front. There is something that I had hoped tonight I would be able to tell you really, really was something special happening, but we're not quite there yet. All I can tell you is we're having major discussions with Lee Day lawyers at the moment.
Good.
And all I can say is that we'll all keep the fight going, regardless of the orgs. What I would say is trying to attack organisations or individuals, regardless of the organisation, is not the right thing to do.
No.
You may not like what one person stands for, you may not like what another person stands for, but they're doing their best. And when you put your head above the parapet, it doesn't matter who you are, you're trying your hardest.
That's right. The trolls validate us, though, Steve, you know, they validate. The more trolls you have, the more validated you are. That's how I see it.
But also, what I'd like to say as well, are you finished, Steve? I'll just.
No, I'm Polish.
No, go on, are you finished?
There you go.
Boom, boom!
Hey!
But I just like, funny enough, before I went to work tonight, I was in the office today, just quickly, and we was talking about Gett. And the way that they offer the Porsche private hire on the app, yeah?
Shocking.
And the way that we was having a discussion in the office tonight, and it was on these lines. Do you remember when Halo brought the private hire onto their app, right? There was murders. There was
not far from here.
Yeah, I can spit the office, right? Yeah. But you had Halo, you had drivers who was like upset enough to form something, like a voice. We got GetNow offering private hire on the app where you can open the app and see private hire. In all, you know, what we say is applying for hire on the app, the same as taxis, right?
Yeah.
But drivers seem to be quite happy with that situation. Has the cab trade gone so demoralised now that drivers are just accept anything? Because if you stand for nothing, you'll stand for everything.
It becomes and get stuffed or get lost.
That's exactly. Right.
They caught the drivers, though, didn't they? They exploited that situation horrendously. But,
they did. They did exploit it.
Yeah, they exploited it.
But you've got the advertising Porsche, and they put in a taxi right next to it, and the Porsche is cheaper than the taxi, and it's basically like saying they're not good value for money taxi. Basically, that's if you can get a Porsche for that price, then you should really be able to get a taxi. Effectively, that's what it's subconsciously saying, isn't it?
Well, I've got a second problem over this, and my second problem is in terms of the fact that this company theoretically as Get is not an operator, it's not a licensed private hire operator.
They're saying it's booked through One Transport.
Well, exactly. So they're using One Transport.
Yep.
Well, hang on, what is it today? Is it Get or is it One Transport?
You can't have it both ways.
And frankly, this is let's play the game however we like. Yeah. And you can't do that.
Right.
Fess up and say, you know what, we're an operator, we'll take a license.
Yeah.
If you want to charge tuppence halfpenny for a Heathrow airport, less and less, like you've got with Addison Lee charging and then killing the drivers into the process financially, leaving depression, people losing their homes, people can't even afford a blooming taxi or private hire vehicle to actually pay, then frankly there's something bloody wrong.
I mean, and that's the big thing that we've said in the badge as well, is like when it comes to like apps and stuff, like Get and stuff, because the club is democratic, we can't say to you as a member, You can't use it, because everyone's an individual, everyone's got their own financial responsibilities. At the AGM, we voted not to advertise Get in the badge. And secondly, the big point of that was that they're going to be fitting 50 taxis with high-definition, high-tech mapping equipment. So Get taxi drivers, 50 of them,
can sell that on.
Will now be able to map London, right? And Get have said that they're doing this so they can sell that information to autonomous vehicle companies, right? Now, that could be Uber. And so Uber could come into London and say, we're going to be offering autonomous taxis. They're all going to be black, right? But guess what? They've done the knowledge. So the years that you spent on a bike doing the knowledge, you're giving Get that for nothing, or they're going to give you a score a week, and there'd be cab drivers out there who rip their arm off for a score a week. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, we are giving the knowledge that you went on your bike to and sweated over and gained and got your badge. You are giving Get all that information to sell to any autonomous company who wants to bring a fleet of autonomous taxis into London with the world famous knowledge. And you know what? There's not many industries that keeps, you know, shooting themselves in the foot, but we seem to be at it all the time.
That's right, Grant. Grant, we're going to have to end it there, I'm afraid, folks. But that's something we can come back to, because it is a major, it's a really big issue, isn't it? But we're going to have to leave it there.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, this Shawnee. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Happy birthday, boy.
Thanks, thanks, thanks. Okay, you can get on the London Taxi Radio. You can go to the website, londontaxiradio.co.uk. You can get hold of me, Sean, at londontaxiradio@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook and on Twitter at London Taxi Radio. That's all for now. A podcast next week, next month.
I'm coming to it.
We've got a podcast next week and the week after, but we'll be back here
at City Diesel. This is at GSS tonight. There's been, if you'd spend £10, there's been 5p per litre off the advertising price, and that I'm sure will be the same next time. But you've got to come on down. You've got to get involved to get that deal, haven't you? That's at City Diesel at GSS. So, as Mick the Brit would say, get involved, and we'll be seeing you. But whatever happens, you've got to stand by me, haven't you?
Lenny's
gonna cut the cake.
Wow, that's what I come for, the cake. Think that was Sean's birthday, I just said it's free cake tonight.
50 is nifty.